The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to talk some football. Welcome to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report with former Buffalo Bill Jeff Nixon. Get ready to participate in an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the NFL in general. Now, here's your host, Jeff Nixon.
Hey, welcome to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. We have a great show for you today, and I've got a tremendous guest. He's considered by some to be one of the greatest offensive linemen in the history of the NFL. His name is Anthony Munoz. And Anthony was drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals back in 1980. He was in 11. He was selected 11 times to the Pro Bowl. He is in the NFL Football Hall of Fame. And I'd like to welcome my guest, Anthony. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Jeff. How you doing?
Hey, it's great to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. I'm a little bit of a disadvantage.
I typically have my my internet connection, and I've lost it, so I don't have all my statistics on you, but. That's okay. We'll just kind of wing it here. But
that's no problem.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. One of the things I'm sure a lot of people are wondering is what you're doing now that you're retired from the NFL.
Well, actually, I have a foundation. After I retired, I went into broadcasting for about 7 years. I was an analyst with Fox doing NFL games. Had a chance to do a little college football. Then my last job was with ESPN. And then after about 7 years of doing some broadcasting, I left broadcasting. My son went off to the University of Tennessee to play some football, so I wanted to watch him. But at that same time, continued to do the Bengals preseason games on TV, and I actually that's the only broadcasting I do now. I just finished my 12th year doing the Bengal preseason games on the local TV network. In addition to that, I have a foundation that I run, been in existence for 8 years now. Actually, eight years, so I do that. Then along with that, I have a team apparel corporate wearable company with promotional items. So we've been in that business for about 4 years, and then I have about two or three companies that I work for as their spokesperson. But so I keep pretty busy, still do quite a bit of speaking, not only in the greater Cincinnati area, but I do some nationally. So I get an opportunity to do a variety of things. So there's quite a bit that keeps me busy along with the last 19 months being a granddad. So, Jeff, there's quite a bit there after football, and I'm very thankful for that.
Well, that's great. Yeah. Now, the foundation that you've set up, what exactly are the type of charitable organizations that you guys are assisting?
Well, what we do is our mission is to impact the greater Cincinnati kids, engage the community to impact them physically, mentally, and spiritually. We have quite a few programs. We have about 15 college students that we're assisting in college with scholarships. And then we have we actually have two different types of scholarships. We have a main scholarship where they're going to local schools. That's a $20,000 scholarship per student. And then we have a smaller amount of scholarship, which we actually recognize more students. We call our straight A, which encompasses athletics, academics, attitude, achievement, and then a big component of that is overcoming adversity. So we have a chance to recognize these young people and give them some scholarship money. So that's we do 18 every year at a luncheon here in downtown Cincinnati. Then we also, last month, we have pretty much our biggest event. We have a youth leadership seminar at Xavier University here in Cincinnati that we have. This year we had 100 high schools represented with about 1,200 high school students. We have motivational leadership speakers speak, and then we have breakouts for all the students that will eventually go back to their school and you know, be the leaders as they were selected to be at this conference in their school and then pass the message on. And that's probably our biggest. We have, of course, we have, like everybody else, we have a dinner golf, but then after that we have a four-day day football camp. We usually have about 500 kids, 8 years old to eighth grade. We have speakers during their session that talk about character and life skills. And then we also have a three-night, four-day football camp, which is we take 40. Right now we're going to bump it up to about 100 kids, but the first 3 years it's been 50 inner-city kids. We take them up. They're from about the age of 11 to 14. We totally underwrite it. They're getting two football sessions a day. They're getting two chapels a day. They're getting discussion. And then we utilize the facilities, 20-foot and 40-foot rope course, and we do team building at night. So, you know, and we do all this, Jeff. We have three full-time staff, and then myself, well, I'm basically full-time. I don't take a penny from the foundation. So we have a good base of about 200 volunteers. We have over 100 corporate partners, and that's how we're able to do what we do with the foundation. And that's a passion of mine. I love, you know, having an impact on young people, and that was, you know, motivates me from my days growing up in Southern California as a kid, and groups and people that poured into my life to allow me to do the things I was able to do.
Well, it sounds like you're keeping yourself pretty busy there with all these things. But let me ask you a question, though. I remember reading somewhere where you were, when you first tried to get into, I don't know if it was peewee football you know, in early on, but they said you were too big to actually be on the team. Is that correct?
Well, you know, that's the word. I actually, if I would have tried to play peewee football, I'd have been much too large for the weight limit and the age group. So what I did through my childhood days, you know, baseball was my first love. I started playing baseball when I was 6 years old, and that was my childhood dream. Played all through high school and even 1 year in college. But football for me, because I was a pitcher, third baseman, I didn't play little league football or peewee football. I actually played flag football from third grade to eighth grade. My freshman year in high school was the first year of tackle football, and I was going to be a quarterback because that's all I ever played growing up as a kid through Sandlot. And then, like I said, I played flag football from third grade to eighth grade, and of course, my speed wasn't my asset; it was my arm. And so I would throw to the guys that could run extremely fast. And so as I got to high school as a freshman, I went out my first day of padded practice. I'd never played tackle football, and I was going to be a quarterback. And, Jeff, my second day, I went out to practice with a full cage on my helmet, and I was a lineman. they looked at me and said, "What are you doing over here with the quarterbacks?" I said, "Coach, that's all I've ever played." And they said, "Well, no, you need to go to the equipment manager, Henry, and he'll change out your face mask into one you need for the position you will now play." And from my second day of freshman football and through my 13 years in the NFL as an offensive lineman. So, but I was again, getting back to the question, I was too large to play Little League football or peewee football, so I didn't play that.
Oh, that's really amazing. Now I read also that you were a pitcher, too. You played baseball, you did basketball, but you were also a pitcher. Is that correct?
That's correct. In fact, like I said, baseball was my first love. That was my childhood dream. I believe someday I was going to play in the major leagues. And, you know, growing up with my mom raising five kids by herself and working two, three jobs, I thought I could buy her a home if I got into the major leagues. So I was a pitcher, third baseman, got to high school. I started three years at third base for the varsity, and I was also a pitcher. And when I was being recruited actually to play football in college, go to school and play football, one of the things that I wanted to make sure is that I would go to a university where I could play, hopefully play baseball. And USC had a track record of letting guys do that, and I was a big USC fan. I wanted to go there. So I went to USC on a football scholarship to go to school and play football, but they had agreed to let me play baseball. And, of course, a lot of people don't know my 4 years at USC, I had three knee operations, only one healthy season, and that was my sophomore year there. And I got a chance to play baseball that 1 year, and they lived up to their promise. They let me play baseball because of injury. That was the only year. The great thing about it, Jeff, played 1 year of baseball and got the experience. We went to the World Series, and we won it that year. So it worked out well for the 1 year. And I got to pitch about 11 innings that 1 year. And I can say that my college career as a baseball player, I'm undefeated. I got one win that year, and that was it. So it was a blast. I had a chance to play with some pretty good baseball players, and I got to pitch a little bit on the college level.
Right. Hey, we're going to take a real quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about your career at at USC, and then obviously your career in the NFL. You're listening to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. We'll be back in just a few moments.
But is it worth it? I can't be sure. I'll go back up and before the door. You're praying in the...
is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. That goes O'Neill. He's at the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
There are all kinds of questions pertaining to health and wellness. What most people don't realize is that there are a lot of treatments that they can do themselves. Tune in to For Your Health with Dr. Mark Larson to discover these treatments and the answers to many of your questions about health. Topics covered will run the gamut from alternative medicine to the science of modern medicine. So be sure to tune in every week. For Your Health airs live every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Do you feel the need for speed? Whatever your addiction, NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, Formula One, Grand Am, or even lawn mower racing, Pit Pass USA has got you covered. Larry Henry here, the host of Pit Pass USA. I put my 30-plus years of being a motorsports broadcaster around the world to work each week to bring you not only the best guests, but also the most interesting guests in racing, while also never forgetting the local weekend warrior. Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry, your front row seat to the world of racing. Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Power Up Channel. Be there or get a DNF.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for the game plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to the game plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. Perfect time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the Seventh Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
Lay the bitch's ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You're tuned in to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report with Jeff Nixon. It's your turn to get in on today's discussion. Call Jeff now, toll-free, at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also drop an email to jeffnixon at AOL.com. Now, back to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report.
Hey, welcome back to the show here. My guest today is Anthony Munoz, and he was with the Cincinnati Bengals for almost his entire career. He's in the NFL Hall of Fame. He was voted 11 consecutive times to the Pro Bowl. And Anthony, that record ever been broken? Has anybody else been, you know, nominated or elected to that to the Pro Bowl 11 consecutive times?
Jeff, they have. In fact, I believe the year I retired in '92, that had been I think one of the tops. But I believe there's been I think Reggie White, maybe Jerry Rice. I'm pretty sure Bruce Matthews. There's about a handful of guys that have gone, you know, 12 to 14. So, that was broken, I think, after I retired.
Well, you're in that's a very small group of people to be in the company of. So, and it's just really a tremendous accomplishment because you're voted in there by your peers. And I think they also have some sports writers that are involved with that, too. But it's... just a great honor. And you went – now, did you go and play in Hawaii on all 11 of those occasions?
Yeah, I think I missed – I might have missed one, I think, my 11th year. Well, no, actually, I went – I think I missed one. I had to get some surgery right after the season. Actually, I played two regular season games and a couple playoff games, and then I had to get a little repair done. So I believe believe it was 10 of the 11, so I did miss one of them.
Well, that's amazing because, you know, nowadays you see these guys and it seems like they do anything they can to get out of going to play in that game. I don't know why, but I mean,
I don't understand that, Jeff. You know, like you said earlier, it's such an honor and a privilege to be voted by the guys you played against, the coordinators, the coaches, and to represent. Of course, playing for the AFC the entire time, going over to Hawaii and playing with the guys and representing our conference. You know, it's one of those things that I know for myself. It was a thrill to be there every day, and the time that I couldn't be there, I was pretty bummed out. But I don't understand. I know when I was playing in them, we usually had the third or fourth quarterback coming over because usually the first or second guy, would kind of skip out of it. But there weren't as many guys back then that are, as there are now that don't want to play in the game.
Well, and, to a certain degree, I maybe understand that because, if you get injured, obviously that can, be a devastating thing for a player's career. And, what's interesting, too, is I think it's next year, or is it this year they're playing, doing the Pro Bowl right before the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it's coming up here for right before the Super Bowl in Miami. They're actually playing the Pro Bowl in Miami the week before the Super Bowl. And, of course, the guys playing in the Super Bowl will not be playing in the game, but they, let's say the Saints and, the Saints and Indies in the game. Players from those two teams will not be playing, but they'll receive the same benefits if they're voted into the game. They'll receive all the stuff that goes along with being voted in the Pro Bowl. They just will not play in it. So that's going to be interesting to see. I know when they made that decision, there was guys that were from Miami, and nothing against Miami, but they were like, why do I want to play a? I come here in the off season. Why do I want to play a Pro Bowl game in Miami? I'd rather go to Hawaii and spend a week. And I can kind of see what they're saying, but it'll be interesting to see how this works out.
Well, I think sometimes a lot of this comes down to money. I mean, having this in the United States and having all of the people, in the local area that are going to be attending and putting their money into the economy and stuff, maybe that had something to do with it too. I don't know. It's kind of nice that more people can, that are living in the States can attend that, because how many people can afford to go to Hawaii and watch that game?
Right. That's quite a ways. It's quite a, ticket to do that, with travel and room and board and the whole thing. But, I think not only the finances had something to do, but I believe something as far as the TV viewing audience, I don't think they had the audience that they would like. I guess everybody, realizes that, the Pro Bowl is a game where, I don't know, it's one of those things where, like you said, there's a lot of guys that aren't playing in it, and I mean, it's almost kind of a, we remember the old 7-on-7 passing drill in practice and those kind of things. They just kind of drop back there and, throw it and, score a lot of points. But I don't know, whatever the case is, it'll be really interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah, I think it'll generate a lot more interest. It's kind of very anticlimactic, I think, when you play it after the Super Bowl. Just like, in baseball and in hockey, they do it, during the season. So it'll be interesting. I hope it turns out well. It's a shame that, guys that are playing in the Super Bowl will not be able to play in the game, but I don't think they're going to be caring about that, quite frankly.
Exactly.
Now let's. I want to go back to your college days. Now you got a scholarship to go to USC. You mentioned that you had gotten injured. I think I read where you had only played six or eight games in your junior and senior year because of injuries, and as a result, there were some teams in the NFL that were maybe a little skeptical about drafting you, but. So, how serious were those injuries that you had?
Well, which makes a lot of sense. Actually, my freshman year, I played 7 games, got hurt, missed the UCLA Notre Dame Rose Bowl. My sophomore year, played the entire season. My junior year, you're right, I played 7 games. I got hurt again right before the UCLA game, so I missed UCLA, Notre Dame, and the Rose Bowl again. Then my senior year, I actually got hurt second series, first game. So those 2 years, I played 7 games. What I did is I rehabbed after the surgery, and I was determined that, I'd gone into school with a bunch of guys. I'd played in 2 Rose Bowls, and I knew I was gone regardless after that, so I was going to play in that Rose Bowl my senior year. and it worked out. I rehabbed, and we did win the Pac-10. We went to our third Rose Bowl, and I actually started and played the entire game, and that was the only game I played my senior year. And, of course, back then there was multiple combines. You know, like now there's that one in Indy. We had, I think, six or seven different combines. You know, they would fly us around, and I was always the last guy out of the room with the doctors because of the three knee operations, and I knew that it was going to be tough to really convince someone to draft me. And if that wasn't going to happen, I wanted to hopefully just get into a camp as a free agent and get a chance. And, you know, the top five teams that year looked at me. Of course, Detroit was the number one pick, and they had pretty much settled on Billy Sims. The number two pick were the Jets, and I learned afterwards they had actually failed me in my physical. And then the Bengals, the Packers, and the Giants. And those three teams actually, after all the combines, flew me back to their city to recheck me. But there was only one of those five teams that flew out to L.A. and put me through about an hour and a half workout, and that was the Cincinnati Bengals. And, again, I didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, you know, the draft rolled around, and, again, like I said, I was hoping just to get a chance to go to a camp and to see if I could stick with somebody. And, you know, with the third pick in the entire draft, the Bengals decided to draft me. And I think a lot of people here in Cincinnati were wondering, you know, what these guys were on and what they'd been drinking, you know, the night before the draft, to draft somebody that had three knee operations and only played half the games in his 4 years. And, you know, so this gave me a chance to come to camp and prove that I could do something. And of course, it was all said and done. It worked out. I didn't miss a game until my 11th year here with the Bengals. And it's just one of those crazy things that, you know, those, you know, I tore just about everything in my knee, both knees. The only saving grace is that back then they would operate on, you know, every ligament you tore. And the one good thing about it, with all three knee operations, I never damaged the ACL. So, I mean, that was the thing that really saved me. And, you know, I tore everything else in my knee but the ACL. And, you know, so the Bengals decided to take a chance, and you know, it worked out pretty well for myself, and hopefully they're happy that they made that choice.
Oh, I think they're very happy, considering when you came in 1980. What was the record the year or two before you came to Cincinnati? How were the Bengals in those?
Well, the Bengals had gone 4-12 2 years in a row, and
right.
They were pretty much you know, it hit rock bottom. Paul Brown, who was running the team at the time, hired a new head coach that January before I was drafted, in Forrest Gregg.
Right.
For all of us who know football, I mean, Forrest Gregg played for the great Green Bay Packers team under Vince Lombardi. And,
yep.
You know, Vince Lombardi in his last book said, you know, you think about Bart Starr and Paul Hornung and Willie Davis and all the guys that he coached. He actually said Forrest Gregg was the best player he ever coached as an offensive tackle. So here, you know, I'm coming to Cincinnati. New head coach, new coaching staff. They've just gone 4-12 2 years in a row. And Forrest Gregg pretty much just turned the ship. My rookie year, we went 6-10, which I think the most I lost in 4 years at USC was five games in 4 years. So it was a, you know, we
now
did here.
That was 1980, right?
1980, that's right. We went 6-10. Very easily could have been 10-6. We lost several games late in the season. But you could see that the team was being turned around by Forrest Gregg, who came in and was a disciplinarian. And, you know, I loved playing for the guy. You know, you knew exactly where you stood. And then the next year, my second year, we go 12-4 and we get home field advantage and we're in Super Bowl 16. So he came in and put us, you know, his footprint, you know, on this team right away. And so it was a lot of fun early on here.
It sounds a lot like the situation I had coming into Buffalo. They had a pretty bad team the couple years before I got here. And then Chuck Knox came in, and Chuck was, you know, he was a hard-nosed kind of...
Right.
A lot like Forrest Gregg, you know, and he was, you know, we called him Ground Chuck because he just liked to run the ball and just be really physical. And we had that kind of defense in 1979, 1980.
Right.
And we won the AFC East in 1980. And then in 1981, we actually played you guys in the AFC Divisional round. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, but first we're going to take a little break, and you're listening to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Use my voice on pins and needles I do walk on. Makes all my voice say I'm too far gone.
Your
your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
What makes an organization successful? Good leaders with clear visions, measurable goals, and above all, a passion for what they're doing. Great organizations have leaders who work with their people and make decisions that take their organizations consistently in the direction of their visions. To understand how these leaders operate and develop their strategies, join Christine McNulty and Dr. Stephen Woodall in their program, Strategy with Passion, Friday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Total career success. What does it mean to you? Voice America presents a radio program dedicated to help you achieve your career goal. Even in times of economic uncertainty, you can achieve your financial goals. Whether you're a college grad, new in the working environment, or a top-level executive, you will benefit from the practical and proven advice on job search and career advancement. Join Ken and Cheryl Dawson every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, for Total Career Success on Voice America.
Are you ready to talk sports? I mean fantasy sports. Tune in to hear the latest fantasy news, injury updates, sleepers, and busts, all with a new twist from the influence of pop culture and the music industry and their newly designed game, Suicide Fantasy Football. Get ready for the Butts and Butts Fantasy Sports Show. Brothers Jim and Eric Butts are ready to clue you in on the exciting world of fantasy sports. Make sure you're a part of the new revolution in sports radio. Catch the Butts and Butts Fantasy Sports Show Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network. You can never get too much butts.
Stop wasting time. Get what you want. Live your dream life. The Dream Big Revolution. Imagine having more freedom, better health, more money, happiness. Could your business be more successful? Unless you're living the life you want, you're wasting precious time. Your life is too valuable to waste. Let Leanne Hilgers help you find health, wealth, and happiness. Listen in and live your dream life. Join the Dream Big Revolution. Tune in every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, on the 7th Wave Network.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's out.
Shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're tuned in to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report with Jeff Nixon. It's your turn to get in on today's discussion. Call Jeff now, toll-free, at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also drop an email to jeffnixon at AOL.com. Now, back to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report.
Hey, welcome back to the show. My guest today is Anthony Munoz. He played with the Cincinnati Bengals just about his entire career. And he also is in the NFL Hall of Fame. He was voted to the NFL All-Pro team on 11 consecutive occasions. And right before the break, we were talking about the 1980 team that you were on, or excuse me, 1981 team. And you guys went, I think, was it 14-2? Was that
Actually, we're 12-4. It was kind of an interesting year.
Right.
Yeah, we went 12-4, got home for Bandit. We're actually 5-3 halfway through the season. I'll never forget. And then in the month of November, we went 5-0. Yeah, so it was pretty exciting season.
Yeah, and I remember when we found out we were playing you guys. We played a first round wild card game against the New York Jets, and we almost blew it. We were up 31-0, and they came back and almost won the game. And then the very next week, we played you guys in Cincinnati. And it was a beautiful day. I remember it was just a great day there. You guys, we knew you guys had a really good team, particularly on your offense. I mean, you guys had Chris Collinsworth. You know, I think Ken Anderson was the quarterback
right.
at the time.
Isaac Curtis. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was one of those games that kind of went back and forth, and you guys just pulled it out there, and you ended up going to the Super Bowl that year. And I was just devastated because I thought we had a team that could have gone too, but that's just the way the cards go on some
yeah.
games, you know. But
you know, it's amazing. You talk real you talked about the weather that game. It was so nice. And if you remember, that following week, we played the AFC Championship game against the Chargers, and it was 59 below with the wind chill factor.
It's got to be, yeah. That, you know, I remember that because in Buffalo, we had, it was really bad too, and we were, we, you know, if we had won, we'd have been hosting San Diego in Buffalo, and we were like, oh, what, it would have been an ideal, you know, weather conditions for us to play, and it would have been terrible for them. But,
right.
But yeah, that had to be one of the coldest games on record. I mean, when you consider the wind chill factor on that game.
Actually, I think it is by like 1 or 2 degrees. I think the you know, they referred to that as the freezer, and then the ice bowl was when the Cowboys beat the, or actually the Packers beat the Cowboys up in Lambeau, and I think it was like a degree or two cooler. It was a little warmer. They had a heat wave come through, so it was we got them by I think 1 or 2 degrees that day.
Oh well, that's unbelievable. So you guys. You ended up going to the Super Bowl that year. I remember watching that game, and you guys really had San Francisco on the ropes, and they ended up scoring that touchdown pass, you know, right at the end of the game to win it. But man, that must have been something to play in the Super Bowl. Was that your own? No, you were in another Super Bowl too against San Francisco later on in your career too.
Right. Yeah, we actually played in 16 and 23, the one up in Pontiac, and then we played them down in Miami in 23. Lost to them both times. Both times. Had him on the ropes, could have very easily won the game. But yeah, it was, of course, nightmare number 16, Joe Montana, in both of those. So,
but what a treat to be able to get. I mean, you got the AFC, you got two AFC championship rings.
Right,
I'm sure you
exactly.
probably wear quite a bit.
yeah, it was. You know, you hear guys that say, "Well, I'd rather have not played in the Super Bowl if we lost it." And I said, "No, the heck with that." The fact that you know. With all the guys that have played in this league and so many never played in the Super Bowl, it's thrilled just to be there. And, of course, you play the game to win the game, and you want to be a Super Bowl champion. But, you know, if you don't, heck, I'm still thrilled and thankful that I got a chance to play in both.
Oh, absolutely. You know, here in Buffalo, we made losing Super Bowls an art form. And it was, unfortunately, we went to 4 consecutive ones and lost all 4. But I'll tell you what, when you talk to the guys that were on those teams, just to be able to get there is just such a great thing, you know, and so it's just, you know, because, I mean, like you said, there's so many players that play an entire career, maybe 10 years, never get a chance. Some of them don't even get into the playoffs. It's
exactly. And, you know, what the amazing thing, I tell people, you know, because they bring that up, and I said, not only to play in the Super Bowl, but to get to 4 in a row. I mean, that is just unheard of. And, you know, I don't think people realize, first of all, how tough it is to get to 1, let alone 4 years in a row to play in a Super Bowl. So, I mean, that's something that I cannot see anybody win or lose the Super Bowl doing again.
Yeah, I really don't think so either. I think that's, you know, that was, you know, what we had in Buffalo was just this tight-knit group of really good players. A lot of them are in the Hall of Fame now, Bruce Smith, Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, you know, it's just, they were able, back during that era, there wasn't as much movement in the NFL, you know, so a lot of guys stayed on the same team for their entire careers, you know, so with all the movement in the NFL now, you know, due to free agency, and really the key thing was that 1993 collective bargaining agreement where they really, it just broke open free agency totally, you know,
exactly.
And then players have been able to move around. It makes it much harder to keep guys on a team and keep that you know, I'm not sure what the word for it is, but just unity, you know.
Right,
so,
unity, cohesiveness, continuity, and that's
you
why
go.
You
the
look
continuity,
at
continuity. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
So,
we're used to working together as players, you know, teamwork, so we're good. But, no, it's, you know, it's one of those things, that's why you look at a team like New England with all the free agency and stuff and what they've been able to do and, you know, the Colts with the, you know, free agency and keeping the core guys together and continuing to win.
And I tell you what, a lot of that goes to the general manager and the coaches that some teams have. You know, we had Bill Polian was our general manager here in Buffalo during those 4 Super Bowl years. And, you know, I'm not sure what happened, but him and the owner, Ralph Wilson, just, you know, kind of, you know, went their separate ways, and they let him go, and now look what he's done in Indianapolis. I mean, the guy is really the great thing about Polian is he started when I came to Buffalo. He was just a scout guy. he would come into the meeting rooms and he would give us the scouting report on the other team. He would tell me, you know, he'd say, well, Anthony Munoz, he's a, you know, six-time Pro Bowl, whatever, you know, and he would give us the weaknesses, the strengths. So he learned from the ground up what a good player is and you know how to build an organization. And so, you know, that's really helped, you know, Indianapolis. And, you know, right now in Buffalo, we're kind of suffering because we just haven't had that continuity that you had mentioned. You
right.
know, we're, you know, and right now we're kind of searching for an identity. It's interesting. Dick Turan was the head coach for, you know, 3.5 years here, and, you know, he went 7-9 his first 3 years, and then this year, you know, things were going downhill pretty bad, and so they let him go. But they brought in a guy, you know, well, they didn't bring him in, but they just promoted Perry Fuel to the head coaching job. He's the first black coach in the history of the Buffalo Bills, and he's just really motivated these guys. And they played yesterday against Miami and beat Miami here. And
right.
I just think that means so much when players have a coach that, you know, feels, you know, you feel like you want to die for him. You know, he's out there, he's getting you know, emotional and just, you know, and it's nice to have a coach like that. My coach is like that. I'm sure Forrest Gregg was kind of like that with you guys too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, Forrest and, you know, going back to college when we talked about John Robinson was the same way. And you just
want to
go out there and lay it on the line because, you know, you know that they would do the same. They have your back and you want to go, you know, just kind of do everything you can to win the football game for them.
Yeah. And that's – it's just I was really fortunate to have a coach like Chuck Knox, you know, and he just
right.
And then unfortunately I had to play under some other coaches that weren't so good. Kay Stevenson, we went 2-14 for two consecutive years, and that I feel bad for teams that, you know, are like, you know, Detroit and some of the other ones that just are perennial cellar dwellers, you know, because it's very difficult to go through a season in the NFL when you know you're not going to be in the playoffs. It's very tough.
Exactly. Makes it for a very, very long season. I mean, even though you love playing the game and stuff, but like I said earlier, I mean, you play the game to win football games, and when you win 2, 3, 4 games a year, it becomes not very much fun, you know, when you're in there, you're going every day, and you know you're busting your tail, you know, game planning, practicing, and then you don't win football games. It's not a whole lot of fun.
Yeah. Now you in your latter years now you got injured I think near the end of your career, and you tried to play with Tampa Bay for a year and it didn't work out. Does that did you have an injury that is still bothering you today, or is it something?
No, actually, you know, I'm thankful. I feel pretty good. The thing when I retired my last year, I knew before the season I was going to retire because this team was going into a, you know, basically a different direction and everything, and I felt pretty decent. Really, my last year here, against my wishes, they put me on injury reserve. I had a right shoulder that was kind of banged up, but, you know, I was still the first part of the season I was playing and still, you know, felt pretty good other than the shoulder. So I did miss a few games my last year, and then, you know, I retired after that year. And like you mentioned earlier, 1993 is when that free agency kicked in. And up until then, I never really had a chance to move. And I retired, and I'd been interviewed by NBC and CBS. And, you know, all of a sudden, a couple teams started calling and asking me if I was really retired. And it just got attractive, you know, maybe checking out somewhere. And San Diego was the first team. And then you had that teams like Kansas City and Tampa. And of course, Sam Weiss was down in Tampa Bay. And for me, it was just the curiosity of maybe checking another place out. And I guess the best fit, even though Tampa was not, you know, the team they were, you know, under Gruden or under Tony Dungy, is that they had a lot of young offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Sam had basically put the entire offensive system that I had here for 9 years with Sam. And their line coach that was coaching down there was really close friends with the line coach I had here my entire career. So he was teaching the same thing. So I went down there and I ended up signing with them just to play 1 year somewhere else and maybe help out as a player coach. And of course, we kind of were smart during the whole you know, training camp, because I knew that right shoulder was. But it felt great during all the camp. You know, I played the preseason games, and you know, Sam and, you know, the staff and the training staff, we were smart about it. And I made it through all of camp. I mean, ready to go into the regular season. I played a lot of right tackle because, you know, Paul Gruber at the time was their left tackle, and so I was going to get a chance to play left guard, which I was excited about. And we broke camp. And the funny story is the trainer, as I was cleaning out my locker as we broke camp, and I'd made it through camp. I was thrilled. The trainer says, "Anthony, come here." He goes, why don't we, after this season, why don't we check out that right shoulder and see if we can get it fixed?" And, I mean, he goes, "I've watched you, and you can play another 3-4 years. I mean, you know, your legs are great." And they were. Yeah. My legs felt great. So I said, "Smitty," I said, "you know, I don't know. I just was interested in maybe playing 1 year." So I'll never forget. And isn't it amazing that I'm talking to you, but we played at the Citrus Bowl against the Buffalo Bills in the preseason game. And, you know, Bruce Smith and I are in the game, and it's, I think, early in the game. And we run this dive up the middle, and, you know, we're kind of both on the ground. And our guy fumbles it. And Jeff Wright, who's the nose tackle, picks it up, and we're on the ground. And I see him running the other way, and I get up off the ground. I chase him down. I go to tackle him. And, of course, you know, trying to tackle him, somebody trying to knock me off the tackle, and we fall. And so I get off the ground, knew exactly what had happened because I couldn't move my right arm, and I walked right over to the trainer. I said, "We can get that right shoulder fixed now." So making a tackle in, like, the last week of camp, I tear my right shoulder up, and I said, "Well, this is a clear enough sign that it's time to get it fixed and move on." So I stayed down there after surgery and helped coach for a while, then came back to Cincinnati and got on with my life after football and went into broadcasting.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll come back in just a few moments. And you're with the Jeff Nixon Sports Report.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
There's a course offered on Seventh Wave Network that you never saw offered in college. One that provides information on how to transform ancient wisdom teachings into everyday life. You'll learn how to create from your spirit and explore the world with all of your senses. Participation is encouraged. Enroll in Spirituality 101, the course you can't afford to miss, with your host, Reverend Norma. Classes in session every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time, in your favorite classroom, Seventh Wave Network.
Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, is here for you, the fan, to hear about and discuss the week's top stories in the world of sports. We'll discuss not only the headliners, but you'll hear some of the smaller stories that don't usually make it on the sports wires today. It's a forum for the sports fan, hosted by Joe Cribbs, a three-time Pro Bowler with the Buffalo Bills. Joe is a 10-year pro football veteran, a former Southeastern Conference Most Valuable Player, and a member of the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Discuss the topics with Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Network.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinking together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
The Waking Dream is a wake-up call to those who are finally ready to change the direction of their lives and the quality of their experiences. Join host Barbara Emrys every Tuesday evening at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, for your wake-up call. That's The Waking Dream on the Seventh Wave Network.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You're tuned in to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report with Jeff Nixon. It's your turn to get in on today's discussion. Call Jeff now, toll-free, at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also drop an email to jeffnixon@aol.com. Now, back to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report.
Hey, welcome back to the show. My guest today is Anthony Munoz, and we've been talking a little bit about his days in the NFL. And one of my favorite callers is on the line, though. It's my brother, Craig. And, Craig, are you on the line there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah, so you got a question for Anthony?
Absolutely. Hey, Craig, how you doing?
Question I have to ask every guy, what was it like to step on the field for the first time in your life in a pro game?
Well, it was unbelievable. You know, it was, and I'll never forget, it was a preseason game. Not only the fact that I'm stepping on a NFL football field, but then all of a sudden, and Jeff, you know, if you remember the guy, I have to block Leroy Selman. So it's like, no. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that, you know, like when I was in college, all of a sudden I started dreaming about playing in the NFL. And it's like, man, you look around and you see the NFL logo, you see, you know, all these NFL football players, and you're just like, it's very humbling. But, you know, you get jacked up about it, and it's just, that's one of the first things you miss, at least I miss when you retire, is just the competitiveness and the competition of the game.
Right. Are you still at 280 pounds?
Actually, I got down quite a bit, and then here this last 7 months, I've always been a workout guy. I was always a runner. For 15 years after I retired, I jogged 5-6 miles a day. And the last,
wow.
Like I said, last 6-7 months, I found a new workout plan. And actually, a couple months ago, got down into the 40s. So I'm trying to go the other way. From my last year, I was right at 300, and I'm probably, you know, low 50s right now.
What are you now? Are you 50 or 51 years old?
I just turned 51 in August.
That's
I'm 51
thought,
years old.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
hey, look,
Craig, thanks.
I'm going to run.
Yeah, thanks,
Jeff's got
Craig.
A lot
I appreciate
of
your
stuff
comment
to talk
there.
To you about, but give your thoughts about Cincinnati because our parents are from there. Okay.
Okay.
Craig,
yeah.
Thank you. Be good.
All right. Yeah, my parents live down there in Cincinnati. They've been.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Well, they're in an area called Norwood.
Yeah, right down the street from us.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, we're in Mason. You know where Kings Island is?
No, not really. I'm not familiar
okay.
with Cincinnati area.
Sure enough, yeah, we're about 10 minutes north of Norwood, right up 71. In fact, we talked about our foundation real quick. We just took 20 inner-city kids to Payless Shoe Store right there in downtown Norwood, and the rest of the school is going to get a voucher. All 300 kids will go get some shoes. So, yeah, Norwood is, I know my dentist, the guy I used to go visit is in Norwood. And so, yeah, it's right down the street here.
Yeah, my brother is the pastor of a church there, and he works with a lot of, you know, low-income families that are in that area. It's pretty, you know, it's pretty sad.
What church is he involved with?
Well, he calls it like a community house. It's
okay.
I think it's the Church of Christ is the name of
okay.
the actual organization or you know, I guess religion, whatever you want to call it,
right.
that he's involved with. But he does a great thing. He has a foreign people from Germany come there, and as a matter of fact, one of the guys that visited ended up marrying his daughter.
Wow.
He was staying at the house, and
I get involved with a lot of ministries here, too. Our church is really involved. So, yeah, why don't you have my information. Have him give me a, you know, get a hold of me. I'd love to meet him.
Oh, you'd love him. He's
yeah.
just a great guy, and I'm sure that he would do anything he could to help you guys with what your efforts
are. That'd be great. I'd love to meet him because, like I said, in fact, about 7-8 years ago, I co-chaired the Billy Graham Mission with all the local pastors, and so I'm sure he knows a lot of the guys that I've met during that time and maintained relationships with.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, one of the things that he does is he is a pastor of pastors. He actually goes and kind of, you know, consults them about, because, you know, who do pastors have to turn
right.
to when they've got issues and they've got problems?
Exactly.
My brother,
good for him. That's great.
Yeah, yeah, and he's really good at what he does. I have to say that about him. But
hey,
before the show ends here, I just want to talk a little bit about some of the things that are happening in the NFL right now. A lot of discussion about the collective bargaining agreement that's coming up, and
right.
obviously, you know, there's been a lot of headlines in the papers about the things that have happened to retired players over the years. You know, the disability plan, the pension plan, concussions. You know, there are a lot of guys that played during our era. You know, they didn't have a good diagnosis of maybe even a severe concussion. You know, we were a lot of guys were told to just get back in the game, and so all these issues are being brought up. And you had mentioned to me too that you're involved with Mike Ditka and the Gridiron Greats. Fourth and goal with Bruce Laird, and there are a lot of groups out there. And one of the things I'm trying to promote and advocate is that we kind of all get under an umbrella of an organization.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean that Gridiron can't do what they're doing and Fourth and Goal can't do theirs, but we do need like a body. And my feeling is that the NFL Alumni Association, and as you know, they just hired a new executive director, George Martin, who played for the Giants. And I just I'm hoping that all the guys can kind of rally around it and make that organization what it truly can be, and it's not just, and advocacy is a big part of it, but I really think, you know, that they can market retired players a lot better than what they've done in the past, you know. So I'm what are your thoughts on all that?
I agree with you. You know, first of all, you know, you talk about the things that have happened to the former and the things that haven't. I mean, a lot should have been happening that hasn't, but I think it's crucial. I think the point you made of rallying together as one group, and I agree with you, there's several, you know, satellite groups, and that's fine, but I think everybody, all the retired players, got to come under one umbrella and rally together. And I agree with the marketing of former players. I mean, here's guys that made the game what it is. They are the guys that laid the foundation. I look at guys, you know, when I'm around the guys like Forrest Gregg and, you know, the guys that really made the game what it is, to the guys like myself, yourself, and even guys playing now have been able to reap the benefits, and they're not acknowledged and they're not taken care of. And I think that's what, I really believe that's what has to happen. I mean, these guys, you know, they don't have the medical expertise, like you said. I mean, you just got a headache, go back out there. Now you see the effects of the game, and there's got to be things that take place in order to assist, in order to help out the guys that have played the game, regardless to what year you played. You know, we got to come together and help guys out, because there's a lot of guys out there that are hurting, that, you know, put their, you know, blood, sweat, and tears into this game, and there's got to be something done for these guys.
Absolutely. Hey, Anthony, it's been great having you on the show. Unfortunately, we've run out of time here. I'd love to have you on again one of these days so we can talk a little bit more about these issues, because I think it's something that we need to do. And obviously, like you said, get under one umbrella. So, anyway,
let's
thank you again, Anthony, for being my guest.
Yeah, let's do it, and I appreciate being with you.
Sports Report. We'll see you next Monday at 5 o'clock.
Playing in the house of pain. It's such a dirty, rotten shame.
Thanks again for participating in an engaging discussion of football on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report with former Buffalo Bill Jeff Nixon. Join us again next Monday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.